You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 194 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Wednesday, April 17th of 2019, and we're recording a couple days late this week. But I am your host here in Kansas City, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by our normal crew. And you know, you guys know what I forgot to do? Like, we're sitting here talking about the show, talking about, okay, what are we going to talk? I didn't grab a trivia thing. I forgot to
No New Hampshire fact?
No. What? No New Hampshire fact.
Are you telling me there's no New Hampshire fact?
There's no New Hampshire facts this week, guys.
Why do we even do the show?
I don't know. I don't know why we... Why did I even hit record? I'm sorry.
I genuinely don't know the answer to that, JR.
I don't why are we even here, guys? It's the show's off to a terrible start. As usual.
We're done.
But no, I'm joined by a couple of our New Hampshire friends over there, my co-hosts, Danny and Ray. I'm going to start with Danny. Danny, how are you? What have you been up to?
I've been revitalized. This Hearthstone expansion has been so much fun. Like, the past week and a half has been some of the most fun I've had in Hearthstone in a long, long, long time.
Yeah? Why?
Because things changed. We were in a very stale meta for a very long time. I just didn't like that previous meta. And I don't know if it's just that the meta is so free that I can go in and climb to legend at any point, but like I can play like ridiculous decks and the meta is not fleshed out enough that like I can do well with. Whereas the meme decks that I'm playing right now, like I was playing some ridiculous Mimron's Head Mage and it was doing okay. And like I couldn't play that before because I'd just get rolled over. So I'm having a lot of fun with that.
So your concern though was that Wild was still going to have, since it was still going to have the odd and even decks, that wasn't going to change much. But you're saying that right now that's not the case.
Well, so I think that when we get back to equilibrium, that those decks are still very strong decks and they are still going to dominate the meta. But I don't know if it's like some agreed pact at the moment or whatever, but unless you're competing for top legend in Wild right now, you don't see much of that. Oh, yeah. You still see the Kingsbane Rogue, you still see the odd Paladin, but like... I don't know. I feel that the people who are playing that are not as many. A lot of people are just trying to try out new things with the new cards, especially like right as the expansion dropped. It might start dipping back into the old, but like for the first two or three days, I didn't see that many of those decks.
I see. So what you're saying is the Wild community had some kind of unspoken rule of we're going to experiment right now and instead of going back to our old awful ways.
I mean, there were people who were like, oh, if you want to hit legend, there are definitely the people who like haven't hit legend before, or they're like not consistently hitting it, that were just playing the decks because they knew they could get free wins. But the people who would be like, all right, I'm just try hard. And then once I get to legend, I'll screw around. Or like the one issue you run into in Wild a lot is that if you hit legend before the 10th of the month, your queues are 5 minutes long. So intentionally, a lot of the time, people don't hit legend until midway through the season because they don't want to wait around as long.
Gotcha. Makes sense to me. I'm glad that it's pretty fun for you right now. I'm having a lot of fun in Hearthstone right now. I enjoy the meta way more, and this is on the standard side of things. I got so tired of the meta for the last 2 years. It felt like we've been on the same meta, and it's definitely shaken up. Quite a bit. I'm having a lot of fun. But Ray,
yes,
you've been up to some stuff.
I have been up to some stuff. This is very accurate. Yeah, I've been just grinding those open cups, you know, just playing way too much Hearthstone. And I actually told myself if I didn't win on Saturday that I wouldn't actually play in anymore because they were just
too much
detrimental to my health. To be perfectly honest, like they were just too much. But I actually managed to finally get that big W on Saturday. Ironically, it wasn't even in the ladder qualifier. The ladder qualifier, I completely bombed out with Token Druid. I just got destroyed. I just had really bad draws, like hands where you have like Soul of the Forest in your hand and you have no ways to generate minions, all that kind of shenanigans. But ended up playing in the next, I forget what, it was either 2 p.m. or 5 p.m., whatever the next qualifier was for the normal ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up winning that one. I ended up going all the way and getting there. So
you won that Open Cup all the way and you're going to Vegas.
Exactly. There we go. That's what we're getting around to.
Woo!
I'm going to Vegas, baby. We did it.
I can't wait. That's the sound you make when you go to Vegas, right?
Is it? Okay. That's the Vegas sound.
That's the MLG trumpet.
I mean, you only know that when you're in Vegas, because everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So you'll have to go to Vegas to find out.
Unless I win, that's coming home. There better be a trophy. The last time I won a major, I didn't even get a trophy. I was seated. I was so sad. I was like, man, I actually asked. I was like, mate, I don't even get a trophy. And they're just like, well, we have this Chipotle here. Like, they just gave me Chipotle. They're like, do you want this burrito? I was like, I guess that's a trophy, sure. But then I ate it. So, I mean, it was an edible trophy. I guess that's okay.
Hey, you know what? If I got free Chipotle for winning something, I'd be pretty happy. I would not turn that down.
Would you be happy, like, at the end of, like, your three-day tournament? Like, you at the end of it, your victory is Chipotle. A Chipotle burrito? Is that really?
I
don't know. The Chipotle burrito in the trophy case seems like a funny meme.
I think it
in, like, a glass box.
I don't think I would make it past TSA, honestly. Like, I would have a better chance of like bringing one of those giant checks on the plane.
That would be hilarious.
You know what we need?
Getting a burrito.
You know what we need to do is we talked about like doing a WorldMet tournament at some point for our patrons. We're still talking about potentially doing that here in the near future. But the winner gets a trophy
burrito.
Of a golden burrito. Yeah.
The golden burrito.
The golden burrito.
Yeah.
Just like the golden monkey from Elise's things, but now it's just a burrito.
Yeah. Oh, we need to. So that picture that we did that you had made, like just
put the golden burrito.
We probably want to explain this for people who don't actually know what we're talking about. Yes. JR had a piece of art commissioned that has all of us kind of surrounding a Hearthstone pack.
A golden Hearthstone pack.
A golden Hearthstone pack that is this pseudo key art for
League of Explorers.
League of Explorers, right? But instead of the golden pack, we have the golden WorldMet burrito.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny.
That would be pretty funny.
That would be really good.
Like the winner gets the golden burrito and then a print of our artwork with the golden burrito. Like, because in the picture, I'm like Reno Jackson, almost like the Indiana Jones thing where he's picking up the artifact off the pedestal and replacing it with something else. That's kind of what it looks like. And then we've got Ray over on the side looking at it. And that was like he was representing Sir Finley, the Murloc, except he's wearing the little he's got the little panda ears that coming out of his hat.
And then you've got
Danny on the other side where the dwarf guy goes. I can't remember his name now. Bran?
Bran Bronzebeard. Yeah.
Bran Bronzebeard. And he's sitting there eating a donut.
Yeah.
And then
donuts over burritos all day.
And then we've got the Blizz Pro mascot, the Blue Yeti, behind that's representing Elise. So it's go to my Twitter and check it out. It's
pretty good.
Cool. It's pretty cool. Like I want to get prints or T-shirts or something.
But imagine how much cooler it would be if that was a golden burrito with like a Hearthstone swirl.
Yeah. We need to make a WorldMet tournament that now has a golden burrito as the trophy.
So that's the name of the tournament, the Golden Burrito.
Golden Burrito, yeah.
The quest for the Golden Burrito.
Yeah, so
this... Probably the name of this podcast, too.
Yeah.
That's the name of the podcast,
Yep.
No, we're still called Well Met, but the name of this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the name of the episode, not the podcast.
I mean, I'd be down to change the name of the podcast to The Quest to Go to the Burrito.
All right. Yeah.
It's time for some rebranding, boys.
Just rebrand. Almost at 200 episodes. We'll no longer be called Well Met. We're just going to be called The Golden Burrito. This is a great plan.
What is it? Is it The Golden Wisp?
Yeah.
There's like The Golden Burrito. It applies to a more general audience. Everybody knows what a burrito is. It's just great. Not everybody knows what Well Met is. But everybody
we get
knows.
All the people looking for food review shows.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they'll be like, wait, what are these guys talking about?
The best part is like at the beginning of the episode, they won't even know it's a Hearthstone podcast till like a half hour in.
New Hampshire fact. Okay. I wonder what's going on here.
New Hampshire facts talking about poo. Yeah.
That's just true.
Every once in a while, it's baseball or football, and you know,
like I won a thing. Like I won a trip to Vegas. It could have been the lottery. Who knows?
Yeah, you won a trip to Vegas.
Very similar, actually. But
it is very similar.
No, I actually think like the decks that I played were just really, really powerful. Like not even the fact that it was Dragon Warrior. It's just like I think the lists were just like it was like a day ahead of the metagame. Like I think the Chef Nomi idea I had, where like you put in Chef Nomi instead of not instead of Elysiana, you still play Elysiana, but you just put in Chef Nomi in for the control warrior mirrors. So instead of like getting 10 cards when you go to fatigue, you play Chef Nomi and then banker that, mm-hmm. and then play another Chef Nomi is way better. And then you play Elysiana after if they can deal with it. It's just like way better than just going with Elysiana banker. I think just being able to have that, okay, if you don't have like the way to deal with the board, I just win. Especially since a lot of the control warriors, when they go into their Terry deck for the mirror, they actually cut one Brawl, because Brawl is usually really bad in the control warrior mirror, because like they're not going wide on the board. But if you just take that one Chef Nomi, all of a sudden, like if they don't have double Brawl in their Terry deck, like you go from making them have it to they don't even play it. So now they either lose or they have to stay on their main deck, which is like strictly worse than the one that they obviously built for the mirror. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's something I would have done if I didn't actually win on Saturday. Like there's little things that are really starting to pop up in the metagame that are just forcing it to evolve a little bit. Not necessarily in a general sense. Like you're not going to see that stuff on ladder because it's ladder. Like that's specifically like a strategy for the specialist format. And you're starting to see like sideboards and stuff evolve more and just do more right. cool things. Like when I won, I played against a lot of Token Druid, but my sideboard was really teched for Token Druid. Like I had Mossy Horror, Dragon Moss Scorchers in the sideboard. So people were saying Token Druid was a bad matchup for Warrior, but for this Dragon Warrior deck that I was playing, it just felt free. Like, it didn't even feel difficult. Like, okay, you make a board of Wisps. Sure, I have, like, the Whirlwind for it. They're dead. Or I have the Warpath, Brawl, whatever you choose. Pick your poison. You have the answer to it. Okay, late game, how does Warrior answer four boards of 5/5 Treants? Well, you have Mossy Horrors. You have Minions. Like, all you have to do is really kill two or three of them. You don't actually have to kill all of them. If they just have a 2/2/2s on the board, that's not going to kill you. You're going to be at a high life total. So just being able to deal with the tokens and stuff, and even like turn 10, if they go with the board of Wisps, like even if you don't have a Mossy Horror or something, Dragon Moss Scorcher plus, or I guess you'd play it first, but the Dynomatic, deal 5 damage to each, deal like 1 damage to each token, or like maybe you kill one, deal 1 damage to a couple other ones, and then you Dragon Moss Scorcher. Like, there's just so many ways to clear if you have the right sideboard that the matchup just becomes free. Like, I'd lose game 1 and then switch into the sideboard, and I would just win the next 2 games super easily.
So it took you a while to get to this point. Like, you were ready to quit. Like, you were on on your final day.
Win Saturday, I was committed to not playing in anymore. Because it was just too much.
You were putting in 10 to 12 hours per open cup, right? 8 to 12, maybe.
per Open Cup, but not necessarily per day. I actually played significantly less Open Cups than the majority of people who are still, like,
yeah.
So, grinders are still playing.
How many Open Cups were you playing in a week?
Probably just two or three at most.
Oh, so you're only doing two or three. So you're putting in maybe anywhere between, 24 to 36 hours a week on Open Cups.
Yes, but also, like, I don't count the one. There'll be Open Cups, like, I'll play, like, the 2 p.m. and I'll just go, like, 0-1. Like, I'll just lose my first game. It'll be a while before round two starts. So I'm just gonna be like, all right, why not just start playing in the 5 p.m. one without a loss, you know? So
I see.
I don't really consider that like an extra open, like going 0-1 and then dropping. I don't really consider, like, I guess it counts as a cup, but like
it just extends your hours by a few hours on the time that you committed.
I would say like three times a week where I would commit my whole day to just sitting there and playing Open Cups.
And there's,
I just couldn't do more.
And there's,
I mean, there's also that factor where like though you got to count those as well, though, the ones that you go 0-1, like those. Like getting out of that is really what you're counting. It's like the ones where you have a potential to win.
What do you mean? Like
you're, when you're considering Open Cups, you're not considering just playing in them. You're considering like Open Cups that you have a chance to do well.
Well, yeah.
As opposed to just the ones that you tried. Yeah. No, I mean, like there are ones where it's like, all right, I like you have a shot to win it at the end where it's like, oh, I may make it to the end and tiebreakers will get me through. Like those aren't the ones you're considering.
Right. I'm not talking about ones that I just like go X2 or like where I'm just like 4-2 or something. I mean, like if I'm going 0-1 and there's an Open Cup like in another half hour that I can sign up for, if I'm like 0-1 or 0-2 or something, well, 0-2, I'm just dropping. But like if I have a loss in the first round and then there's another one that's just ready to go, that's just firing up, I'm just going to drop.
You're just increasing your chances at that point by saying I've only committed 2, maybe 3 hours of time into this, and I will have a better chance on just trying out a new one.
Yeah, well, I didn't look at it like a lot of people are just like, oh, I'll just play this one Open Cup and like see how I do or whatever. For me, it's just like I dedicate a whole day to like the process of, okay, if I go 0-1 here, that's so I'll just do the next one, and then
so
if
you're
I do
putting
well,
in,
then that's...
you're putting 12 plus hours 3 days a week.
Yeah, I could not physically do more. Like even the one that I won, I started playing at 11 a.m. and then it finished at 6 a.m.
Oh my god!
So
wait,
did you play in one before, or were you playing in the ladder?
Yeah, I played in the ladder one. The ladder one check-in started 10:30, so I was like up at 9:30, like did my morning stuff, like got coffee, got breakfast, whatever. Checked in 10:30, started at 11, and then I went. It's actually kind of funny. I was two and one. It was round four and it was like 4:30 at this point. It was 4 o'clock when we started round four. I was playing against a rogue. I was playing Token Druid. I lost game one. And then I looked at the time. It was like 4:25. And then I knew the 5 o'clock open start, like check in. You had to submit your decks by 4:30, and I was already looking through like other people's decks because I wanted to see what, because this is the Open Cup that like if you get top four you're in,
right?
So everybody was going to try their hardest for this one. It wasn't just a normal Open Cup. So I was looking through and I saw Zarios had like this Dragon Warrior lineup that looked super cool. I wanted to change some sideboard cards based off of like what I saw in the Open Cup, the Open Cup I was playing in and stuff. I was like, okay, this is what I want to play if I don't do well in this one. And then I looked at the time, like I lost game one. I was like, oh man, it's about 4:25. I literally just don't physically have the time to play out this game. And like, if I'm 3-1, sure, I'm going to like maybe regret it if I like somehow manage to win the next four games or whatever. But in my head, I was like, I really don't like the lineup I was playing. I was playing Token Druid. It was a pretty standard lineup, but I just really did not like the deck, honestly. It just felt like I was just not getting there. My draws were terrible. I felt like I was looking at the people playing. I felt like people were teched for it. Like the Warriors were just going to beat me anyways because they had super, like people are playing Barrageddon now for Token Druid. So I was just like, man, I just don't want to deal with playing with this stuff. Like people are just hard hating against this deck in the tournament. It's just like, I'm going to feel so miserable if I play this out and I just don't get there. I'm just going to drop. And I dropped after game one. I lost game one. I just immediately dropped. I was like, my opponent was Flame Killer because he actually commented on the post that I posted on Twitter saying I won. He's like, this is hilarious, because I was like, I'm just going to drop. Like, I concede the whole match. Like, I'm done. So I could sign up for the 5 o'clock one. Because I couldn't sign up because I didn't have the codes copied. I just had the decks built in the client. Mm-hmm. So I had to concede the match so I couldn't, because it would look really bad. Just be like, hey, can you just let me like cancel out of this challenge so I can go to my deck collection real quick to get the codes, like to sign up for this other open in case I lose the next two games, or in case I lose the next game? Like, I don't know. That just was, I was just not going to do that. Like, that was just too weird. So I just conceded and then committed to the next Open Cup with this Dragon Warrior lineup. And I was talking to him and he was like, if you win, this is just like super galaxy brain play right here. Just like, just like conceding, just saying I'm done. And yeah, I ended up getting there. It was pretty sweet. I was super, super ecstatic. Everything kind of went according to plan. I played against a lot of token druids and it felt really easy with the Terry deck that I had to hate against. It seemed like that lineup was just like one day ahead of the metagame. Like, it was just perfect for that day. I don't know if that's going to be the case anymore, because I don't know how popular token druid, like, I haven't been paying attention in the last couple days since I won. Like, that definitely actually still messed me up, staying up till 6 a.m. I didn't sleep that day because I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't fall asleep. I had too much adrenaline. Like, I just won at 6 a.m. and like my whole family wakes up around then anyways to do work and like normal people things. Mm-hmm. So everybody's already up, like there's already like a hustle and bustle, whatever.
And you're sellying.
Yeah. And I'm just like super energetic. I'm just like,
whatever. Yeah, you got the adrenaline going because you just won.
Yeah, I just like,
you got your golden burrito.
I did. I got my golden burrito. I just got breakfast and I just stayed up the rest of the day. But man, the next day, like I went to bed right after Game of Thrones on Sunday.
Which is why we don't do Sunday shows.
Yeah. But I went to bed at like 11. I woke up at like 2 p.m. Like, I slept, like, that was like one of the longest I've ever slept without waking up and then going back to sleep. Like, I just straight slept for like 13 hours and then felt like crap that day on Monday. So, and then finally kind of felt back to normal today.
Yeah. So, I mean, where I was going at earlier with you put in you were putting in a ton of hours in this particular case, nearly 24 hours into that win. It was like 20 hours between the two cups. There's people that are putting in more than that and not being successful or potentially getting there finally. How unhealthy is this though? I mean, I made a comment on Twitter about this too, that it's like, I feel like Blizzard needs to do something about this, because they put this incentive in place for people to spend their whole waking hours trying to win. And I don't know if it, and it's not so much trying to win, it's the fact that one cup can take like 15 hours or more.
Yeah. I honestly don't know how people do it. Like, I'm going to use this example because it's the one I know the most. Like, Dr. J has been grinding them. I feel really bad that he hasn't won one yet. He's gotten so close multiple times, but I just don't know how he physically does it. He's like playing the Asia Cups at 9 p.m., which go to like 6, 7 a.m., and then he's sleeping for maybe, what, like 4 hours, waking up at like 1 p.m., checking into the America's 2 p.m. Cup, and then playing in that, and then if he loses that, playing the Asia. Like, I physically don't. You can do that. Like, my body is not normal. Like, my heart is obviously not a normal person's heart, but I feel like even for a normal person, that has to be brutal on your body. Like, for me, I just physically cannot do it. I will get sick. I will just, like, yeah. It's just not worth it. That's why I gave myself only that day, and then I was just going to give up. Even though that sounds kind of pathetic on some level, it's just, like, not worth it to me. Like, I have more important.
I mean, that's respectable, though, for knowing your limits. That's one of the things this is really pushing some people to their limits, and it's going to lead to burnout very, very quickly.
Yeah. And to your point, I'm not sure how successful someone can be if they're putting in that much time and effort. I know I was using this example when we were talking about before the show, that at work, like, there are days where, you know, I've got to put in 12-hour days, 12-plus-hour days. In the past, there's been days, this has been a long while. This has been like 5 or 6 jobs ago at this point, where I was at the office for 36 hours straight. And there's a point where you don't, like, not only does your body just not function really, but your mind doesn't really, it's going to make mistakes, you know, especially like from programming perspective. You know, I remember a boss of mine staying up all night to code this stuff, and he ended up drinking while doing it as well, which made matters kind of worse. And then he was on Facebook. He was on Facebook.
The NBA baller's peak.
And then he was on Facebook posting Journey lyrics while coding. And
you know when you hit that point when you're posting Journey lyrics, something's up.
Right.
You're delirious, you're drunk, you're coding. Like,
and people came into the office in the morning. He's passed out underneath his desk. He had put in an all-nighter. Well, guess what? They had to throw out all of his code that he worked on that night. So everything that he did that night was worthless. Like, there was no value at all in him doing that. And jeez. I think that's the same thing with playing Hearthstone, is because it relies so much on your mind and thinking through these plays that there's a certain point where you're not going to win. You're not going to provide value. You need to take a step back and re-energize.
There's definitely a point of diminishing returns. And I think that one of the things that people, I mean, I haven't seen this, but I don't know if anyone's specifically doing it, but regimenting the things, like how Ray was doing it, where he was playing 2 or 3 a week, is probably the smartest way to go about doing this. Because as soon as you start committing 12-hour days over and over and over, like I said before, you're going to get burned out, and then you're going to get worse performances, you're going to feel worse about it, and then your next one that you go into, you're going to have worse feelings. Because, you know, it's like perpetual tilt for ladder, right? Where you're like, oh, I hate this thing. Where I feel a lot of the times when I've been going for top legend finishes, I've set it up multiple times where it's like, okay, if I need to win like 2 or 3 times every day, and then I'll just keep it going, like the snail wins the race type thing. Slowpoke wins the race if you go steady.
Right.
I mean, I'm on the same boat as you, where I think that, at least for me personally, which is like, I know I'm not a normal person, but I think a lot of people feel the same way. It's just like, you don't play well if you don't feel good. Like, if I'm super tired and I just, like, if my head's not in it, like, if I don't have the right mindset to win a tournament, I will not do well. I guess maybe not even a mindset thing. It's just, like, can my brain function, like, at the highest level? All it takes is one misplay, like, one small error in a very tight matchup where, like, all of a sudden, instead of being X1, you're X2, and now you're not making top 8 anymore. Or you're in top 8 and you just make one tiny mistake and you're done. It's like, why bother actually even playing the tournament if you're just not going to feel good? And then by playing that tournament, it's also going to mess you up for like the next days. For me, it was just easier to play one and then take a day or two off and then try again and then take a day or two off and then try again. It's not like, I just will not do well if I try to go with the logic of, okay, I need to play in as many as possible so I have as many chances as possible. That's not the case for me. For some people, they say it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not playing worse. I don't know if I believe that. Like, Jay, he says he's like, he doesn't play any worse because of this. It's just like, I don't know if I genuinely believe that.
Like, you can't, because I know when I pull all-nighters, I haven't in a while, but, or I'm working really hard, like, you know, I might be saying, like, my code that I'm writing isn't really any worse. But guess what? When someone goes and code reviews that, they're finding more bugs, they're finding more errors. I just don't see it because I'm too tired.
Yeah. There's a sports analogy to this. It's bad reps are not like, are actually detrimental to you. Or like, if you ever go and you see practices for professional athletes, like they're 2 or 3 hour practices a day, and then they're like relaxing and then going about like other workout routines and everything. So they're staying fresh. So you don't, like, you would think that a professional athlete had like an 8 hour practice where That's not what actually happens. They go in, they practice for 2 to 3 hours a day so that they're on their game. They don't go and they commit. They're not doing 12-hour workouts every day. It's gotten to a science where there is definite burnout from overusing things, and bad repetitions just lead to bad habits. And then bad habits just bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Osaka, when he played a lot, like when he won Worlds and stuff, he would say that, like, when you ladder, I think it was like when you ladder for more than like 4 hours a day, you just start to play worse. Like if you're going for rank one legend, you should only play a few hours per day. Like you should play maybe 2 or 3 hours, whatever you think your limit is, before you start to just play worse and go on autopilot. Because playing on autopilot, like once you pass that mark, you actually, not only do you play worse, but it makes you a worse Hearthstone player overall. Because now you're just
going through the motions.
Yeah, you're going through the motions, but you're also just not thinking about the game on a higher level. Like, you're not thinking about every single interaction like you would the first couple hours or the first hour. You just play worse, you make yourself worse. It's why people don't like to stream as often. Like, a lot of the best players, like Hunter Ace, he doesn't ever stream because streaming makes you worse at Hearthstone a lot of the time. If the majority of the time you're playing, you're streaming, you're actively getting worse at the game just because you're not thinking about it to your full extent, or you're just playing way too long. Unless you're somebody like Colento, who just like doesn't talk to chat, streams however many hours, but he's just focusing on the game. Like if you're that kind of streamer, okay, that's different. That's like, to me, that's like more just a non-interactive stream. Like it's more like somebody's watching a video of you playing. Yeah. So you're just not talking to chat.
It's not
or something.
Entertainment.
Well, it can be entertainment. It's just like,
yeah, there's less interactivity.
Interactive entertainment. Sure.
Yeah. Right. But I definitely agree with you there. Like, yeah. I think that people who are playing in these should be in a very good space when they're playing. And they shouldn't be like back to back grinding. Like, it's really hard though. Like, sometimes you just feel like a gambling addict, which is ironic because we're going to Vegas. And I actually think like 50% of Hearthstone players might just be gambling addicts if they had the money to gamble.
Yep.
So we'll find out how many people lose their houses in Vegas, I guess. But
don't spend what you don't got.
No, like that's the thing. Like when you lose, like it's same with ladder, dude. Like you're high up, you're close to rank one. Once you start losing, instead of taking a break because you know you're like diminished, you just, all right, one more game. I need to get my ranks back.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep, you're already behind.
Oh, yeah, that was an unlucky moment. I just got to keep going through it, about to power through it, right?
Yep. And then like an hour later, you're like in the dumpsters and you're like, man, what happened? Like, yep. What happened? And that
will happen
so
to you
often.
In Vegas.
I mean, I don't have any money to gamble, so I'm not actually gambling, which is, people are making fun of me for it. I was talking about it in a Discord and like, are you even a human being? You're going to Vegas and not gambling. I'm like, dude, I have no money to do that. Like that's, I don't have like $1,000 or a few hundred dollars just to like throw in the garbage can.
Yeah. It's probably,
yeah, that's what you got to view gambling as. That's what I picked up from my dad. If you're gambling, you put the money aside and said, I'm blowing all of this money. I'm like, that's that, you don't expect any return on it. Just say this is for entertainment. And then at that point, you're like, at that point, you reevaluate how much you're going to actually spend.
Yep.
It takes a lot of discipline to do that.
And I would have way more fun using that money to like do something else, like maybe go see a show or like, I don't know, they have crazy stuff in Vegas, right? Like they have roller coasters on buildings and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, there are a ton of fun things to do there besides the gambling. That's like the whole allure now. Like gambling is starting to die off a little bit, like for tourism. So they're starting to try to pick people up with like events and shows and other activities.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right, just first of all, I wanted to thank our legend of the show, Otaku MZ. If you'd like to be a legend of the show or a patron, just head over to patreon.com/walnutpodcast. For $2 a month, you get the show a little bit earlier than everybody else, and you get the pre-show and post-show, which is sometimes entertaining, I guess, maybe. But the first thing I wanted to talk about today that's in the news is Worlds is next week, not this upcoming weekend, but it starts on April 25th and ends on April 28th, which is my birthday, by the way. That's when the grand finals are going to be. And today the deck list came out and the groups Is that right? The groups and deck lists?
Technically, they didn't get announced. They didn't get leaked. Okay, it's pretty funny. Hearthstone accidentally, like, tweeted it.
No.
And then they deleted it. No, it hasn't been officially announced. Go on the Hearthstone page.
No, I got an email about it earlier today.
I guess maybe now they have. Originally it got leaked because we knew the deck list before it got tweeted out because they accidentally tweeted it early. Somebody did, and then deleted it immediately.
But yeah, it's the internet, so the internet never forgets. So obviously someone screen capped it, got it, and then have all the lists.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but...
Okay, maybe the lists weren't supposed to be out yet. I guess the email that I got earlier today was the Choose Your Champion stuff.
Yeah, so that's out. They don't have the list public on...
I don't think the lists are public yet. I don't think Well, they're public because of the Invent Global article, which got circulated because somebody who leaked it sent it to them, but or somebody who caught the screen grab of the article.
But the groups are deleted. Out. The groups are out.
Yeah, groups are out. Yes,
the groups are out. And also, I don't know if anybody like saw, but they accidentally self-leaked that the APAC tournament. So the next Masters tournament, the one after Vegas, is going to be in Seoul, Korea. So South Korea in Seoul. I don't know how you say it. I'm assuming it's Seoul.
Yeah.
Because the BattleFi page, like it says Masters Qualifier Seoul number one. What went live today, but Blizzard actually hasn't announced where it was. And everybody was like, oh, I wonder where it's going to be. Where's it going to be? Where's it going to be? And then BattleFi accidentally leaks it, which is hilarious.
I love how like 90% of things that get put out get leaked.
Well, it's not really like a leak though. It's not like somebody internal is like leaking it. Like they're not like sending it to somebody like in secret or something. It's literally just, oops, we accidentally posted this or something, and then it's out there. Because I mean, if it's out there for a minute, everybody's already seen it.
Right.
So yeah, stay away. Endgame spoilers have been leaked too, so stay away.
Oh God.
We won't get into that. So the main thing here that we're just briefly going to talk this week, because I think we're going to do a deeper dive next week and actually look at these groups more closely, and then look at what they're playing more closely, and then come with a who we think is going to win, like our final say on, you know, this is a person you should probably choose as your champion. And evidently you need to listen to Ray last time because he picked like all four of the top four. but just a quick look, going by gut feeling, going by what I see in the groups and stuff, and just going by who I think is going to win these groups, not even looking, I haven't even seen the deck list yet. You guys have. I'm gonna go with Bloody Face as my mostly because he was on the show a few weeks ago, but also like I don't know if he can take on Roger because he's in the same group as Roger. I think he's got a good chance.
I think Bloody Face is the safe pick again. I think he's definitely gonna do well. I really like his lineup. I really like him as a player, obviously. I picked him last time to do well. I think he's going to do well again. But here, I actually... Okay, so there's two hit or miss lineups that I think are going to do really well, which is Roger and Killin' All Day. So I would pick to win the whole tournament, Roger or Killin' All Day. And Roger's not even for the meme. Like, I think that Mech Paladin is a deck that has been slept on, and I've been saying this even in our Discord, and I really think that people are going to start winning... cups with it too. Like, this is something like, if you're listening to this and you want to qualify for Vegas, I think that's something you should consider, taking Roger's deck and making your own tweaks to it. And like, I think that archetype of Mech Paladin is actually very powerful, and it's just something that people haven't explored yet, because with kind of with everything, it's kind of like an echo chamber. Like, you see Control Warrior do well, so you copy Control Warrior, so Control Warrior keeps doing well, and nobody ever really innovates, or it takes somebody to, you know, just take a risk and innovate. I think we're going to start seeing more of that. And I think Mech Paladin is definitely going to make waves in the next week or so. And with Roger playing it, I think people are going to be like, oh, wait, this is something that this dude is bringing to the World Championships. It must not be a joke. And obviously it's Roger, so he's got the script behind him. He has to win Worlds. And Killing All Day has the Chef Nomi Priest and Chef Nom Nom. So, man, that is just cool.
Is it still technically the year of Killing All Day?
It is. It is. It is the year of Killing All Day. So he's got that going for him, too.
So I think just briefly going over just real quick, just looking at the groups, the top two of each group. Group A, I think it's going to be Bunny Hopper and Blood Trail over Essen Jing and Zhao Ti. And Group B, I think it's going to be Killing All Day. LF Ewing, I can never remember how to pronounce his name, over Muzzy and Language A. In Group C, I would pick Just Saiyan and Hunter Ace over Ike and A3650. And in Group D, I'd pick Roger and Bloody Face over Tyler and Viper.
Good old Raji.
Raji.
Yep. So those that's my top eight just by gut feeling. As I said, I haven't looked at the lineups, but yeah. What do you think, Danny? Who's
I don't know enough to give an accurate description without going into deck lists. I'm gonna abstain.
I haven't looked at the deck lists either. Just gut feeling. Yeah. We'll deep right, dive next.
If I'm going off a gut feeling, I'm going with Roger the entire way. So
right. I think there we go. Predictions are actually almost on the nose, except for the Group B predictions. I think Muzzy. I don't know. It's Muzzy. I just think Muzzy's gonna do well. Maybe not, though. Like, I actually don't know. So, I never see them online. Like, I don't know if they're playing Hearthstone, like, secretly. Like, if they go offline and then they play with each other.
Okay. Alt accounts, that's what it is.
Or, like, if they're just not practicing that much. Like, if they're just not playing as often as they used to play. Just because they have no reason to play Hearthstone right now. Like, they're already invited to Vegas. They're already in Grandmasters. Like, it's the World Championships. You gotta practice. But, like, I don't know if they're as hardcore as people like Bloody Face, who is playing like 10 hours a day against himself, which is like, that's some OG card playing stuff. Like, that's what we used to do back in the day for like Pokemon and stuff. We would just play against ourselves because there was no online. So there was no way to play with other people unless you like went over their house or something. So you just play against yourself.
How do you play against yourself in Hearthstone? Like two screens
two accounts. Well, you don't even have to have two screens, honestly.
No, you can
just tab. That's
true.
Like, you can have multiple instances of Hearthstone going at the same time. So you just have one account logged in and the other account, and then you just use the Borrow Decks feature. So that way you just like have an account that's like ranked 25, no cards on it. Just battle yourself, borrow decks, and then boom.
Oh, I forgot that was a feature. Yeah.
Yeah, borrowing decks helped out a lot during prep for the Wild Open, because there were some decks that we wanted to try out, but either the people who I played with or I didn't have like specific like random legendaries for like random like wild legendaries that no one ever plays, and some people were playing them in their deck list. So it was nice to be able to test that out.
Yep. Yeah. So those are our original picks. We'll do a deeper dive, and I'll probably change my mind after I look at the deck list next week. But Bloody Face is who I'm. And Bloody Face will probably, even though I look at him next week, I'll probably still pick Bloody Face personally on my choose the champion just because he came on the show and I need to support him. That's my
true.
Opinion.
It's true. You gotta get all the and I think potential world champions on.
I think he's a good pick regardless. So the next thing we wanted to just talk about is not really news at this point, but the set's been out for a week. Right at a week, right?
Yep.
Or a little over, something like that. I don't remember. It's been a long week. So what have you guys been playing? What's been successful?
Well, for me, I have the obvious, like there's Warrior, but I've been playing a lot of this new deck that I made, even though actually it's ironic because Kibler and a couple other people have been tweeting out their own versions of it, even though I think all their lists are garbage, is Miracle Mage. It's basically it revolves around Elemental Evocation, making the Mana Cyclone card zero mana, and you just get a bunch of spells in your hand, and you do interactions with other minions. Like, for some reason, a lot of people are playing the Frog, that whenever you play a spell, you deal one damage to a minion, or they play Mana Addict to try to get, like, some insane OTK. People were playing, APX Void had, like, a Chef Nomi deck that played, like, Mana Cyclone and stuff. I don't know why he had draw cards and Chef Nomi. That was kind of weird, but my version is just playing Archmage Antonitis as like the main win condition, which for some reason people just aren't playing Archmage Antonitis in that list, which like that seems like the most logical card to put in something like that, where you're just getting a bunch of playing a bunch of one mana spells And it also plays Questing Adventure, which is pretty insane against all the aggro matchups. It's way better than Mana Addict, which is like the goal is to kill them in one turn with Mana Addict or something like that. And with Questing Adventure, you can just play it on four and just put it behind a mirror images or play it on five and freeze their board with stuff. And if it, a lot of the time it just doesn't die. Like against Rogue, how do they kill that if they don't have sap? Like they have Eviscerate sometimes to deal with it, but you can make it even bigger than a 4-4, especially if it's like turn four or five. Like you can just go Questing Adventure, Sorcerer's Apprentice, mirror images, play a bunch of one mana spells that cost zero because of Sorcerer's Apprentice, and now all of a sudden you have like a 5-5 or a 6-6 that most of the time they just can't deal with, and they don't, most lists don't play sap. So against a lot of the aggro decks, even against Zoo, you just win because you play Questing Adventure, put it behind some tokens, and the next turn you make it have 10 attack and you just hit them in the face, and then the next turn after that they're dead. And then against control, you just you play Banana Buffoon, which is a 2-mana or 3-mana 2/2 that gives you bananas in your hand that cost 1 that buff your guys by 1/1, but they're 1-mana spells, so they're just free fireballs. You get 4 bananas in your hand from the buffoons. You go Archmage Ananidus, Sorcerer's Apprentice, buff up the Archmage 4 times, 4 fireballs, play a bunch of 1-mana spells, and now all of a sudden you have like 8 fireballs in your hand and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Like I've beaten Warrior just by fireballing them in the face twice every turn for like 4 turns. Like, I don't care if you get that boom, gain 7 armor hero power, because I'm going to get through that. I'm just going to keep fireballing you until you're dead. And they eventually die. They just don't have enough armor to outlast 8 fireballs or more.
I've been playing Mage, and I've been playing a different style of Mage. I've been playing kind of like the Handlock version of Mage, right? Where, you know, you're kind of playing towards the late game because you're holding on to your Mountain Giants, because if you get a Mountain Giant out, and then you can play the, was it Conjure Summon or something like that, the 3-mana spell that destroys the minion, and then you get 2 of the same cost minions. But with the Mountain Giant, since it's a 12 casting cost, I tweeted out that the priest card from last set from the Rumble set is the new Mage MVP card, Grave Horror, because it's the 12-mana 7/8 with taunt, and sometimes you get those when you kill your Mountain Giant, and that came in really handy against aggro decks that were trying to, you know, hit me in the face. And all of a sudden, well, look, now I have 2 7/8s. If I have Khadgar, well, guess what? I have a bunch more, and then they just concede, and it's kind of funny. But I had a really funny moment with that deck the other night, where I had Khadgar on the board, and I also played the Astromancer, which is the 7-mana 5/5 that summons a creature of the equal mana cost of cards in your hand. And I had Khadgar in play, and I had 7 cards in my hand when I played it, so it created for me Antonidas and a Velen.
I'm surprised it treated you so favorably when you call it Khadgar.
Yeah, you didn't get double high Reef the Bat or Lynessa Sunshine.
Khadgar, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, your next role is going to be Hyreek the Bat. You insulted him.
Yeah, but no, I got Antonidas and Prophet Velen so that I was making 16 damage fireballs. The reason why they're 16, not 16 mana, but the reason why they're 16 damage fireballs is I had something that was also giving me spell damage +2.
Arcane Anomaly or whatever it's called, yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Your mage is actually so fun to play. Like, all the mage decks are super fun. Like, the hand mage decks are fun. Like, they all either play, like, some type of random element. They all have, like, random elements to it. Like, get a bunch of random spells or, like, Power of Creation. Just summon discover a 6-drop. Like, none of the games are really the same. Like, there's always wacky situations, it feels like, in most of the games that I play with the mage decks right now.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with mage. Like, I started out playing Warlock Zoo, like I said I would, and it didn't really stick with me. I moved over to Rogue, and what was I playing on with Rogue? It was the pirates and the weapon that gives you the pirates or the combo, the four.
Yeah, the waggle pick.
Yeah, the waggle pick. And then you've got your minion guys, your evil minion guys, and the Tog Waggle Baron or whatever his name is, and it just wasn't consistent. It just kind of, I'd win games with it, but it didn't feel like it wasn't that fun. But yeah. The mage deck has like playing mage lately has really stuck with me so far, and I haven't,
it's just fun.
I haven't jumped on the warrior train because I'm already tired of warrior.
I actually only like so Token Druid. It didn't work out in the first cup that I played Saturday, the latter one, and I really just didn't want to play warrior. But I was like, okay, I can't quit before I play warrior because you just have to. It's the best deck. Like, you just have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna hate myself, but I was already feeling a little bit self-deprecating at that point. You know, where you just want to be self-destructive. Like, you know, you're gonna be miserable playing this deck, but you feel like you deserve it. You just want to hurt yourself, not like literally, but you know what I mean. Like, you just want to. You just want to play it and just like
get a masochist over here.
Actually, though, I was just in that mood. I was like, all right, I'm just going to play warrior. This is going to be miserable, but I have to do it because I'm not going to quit before I play like the best deck. Yeah, I got to see what everybody's talking about. And then I played it, and yeah, obviously it's pretty good.
Yeah,
but I did not have fun. I definitely had zero fun. No, I'm not even joking. Like, all of the matches, like, it just wasn't fun. I just felt like, I don't know, I wasn't doing anything cool. Like, Dr. Boom was just broken. I was like, man, all these poor kids out here playing their mage decks and their fun little token decks, and I'm over here just, like, playing these OP cards to clear everything. Like, they do all these cool combos with, like, 20 cards. Like, they use up their whole thing. I'm just like, brawl, get out of here. One card gone. Or, like, you just play Dr. Boom on 7 and you just win the matchup because that's how powerful it is right now. Or I was playing against a rogue, and they were trying so hard, man. There was like the little tank engine that could. He was discovering all his random cards. He was like getting some good ones, and then every other turn, I was just gaining 7 armor, and he got close, man. He got like this cool like multiple Heist Baron Tog Waggles, and then every time he'd make a wide board with like double legendary minions, I would just be like, nah, nope. Hey, brawl, cool story, bro, brawl. Or then I'd be like, discover a mech, get Omega. The Omega guy that deals 10 damage. Deal 10 damage, and now my rush can clear your other dude. It's just like, it felt so powerful.
Yeah.
But it was so, I felt so, it was like a guilty pleasure. Like, you just feel dirty. Like, I just felt dirty. I felt like, so bad. Like, somebody walked in on me when I was doing the opposite of noob baiting.
Oh man, that has come back for this week. I just love that you didn't get it last week. You're just like,
what? That was pretty good.
I get it now.
Get it now.
It's all that counts, I think.
I just love the comments I got on Twitter about it.
Oh, Craig loved that. That was hilarious.
Were they positive or negative?
Oh, they were very positive.
They're all positive, but yeah. Danny, what's working for you over in Wild, though? Because
oh man, Wild metagame is so much fun. Yeah,
you showed me a clip before the show that I'm just like, ugh, this sounds awful.
Yeah, so Wild has a new hotness. So I'll start off with that. There's this new deck, and it uses the new card Darkest Hour. It's Darkest Hour Warlock. I'm trying to dub it Big Warlock so people get pissed off with it more. Essentially the concept of the deck is you use the Fiendish Circle, the 4-mana imp generating card. You use like Rafam's Scheme to generate imps, and then you use Blood Bloom into Darkest Hour, so making the play available turn 5, turn 6, and you're running a bunch of bombs in your deck. You're running like all the big minions like Lich King, Ragnaros, Yashiraj, all the big demons, and you're running Nerubian Unravelers. Mm-hmm. So your opponent, all the minions come out onto the board, and essentially your opponent can't use any board clears to clear it because all of a sudden their spells cost 2 to 4 more. And on turn 6, you really can't do anything to clear a full board for 4 mana. So, yeah, this deck is really taken wild by storm. It is, I mean, it has its weaknesses, but it feels, I said this to the guys before the show, but it feels like a pre-Naga Sea Witch deck. There was a phase where, like, Naga Sea Witch was, like, an oddity at a certain point in a Warlock, but it didn't have enough defensive tools at the time. And it was still able to get all the big combos out, but it wasn't consistent enough against aggro, so no one really thought much about it. This seems like it's a little step up from there. And if we get a card printed in the next set or two that is just defensive Warlock card, which is due, by the way, because Defile rotated out. But I think that this deck could be as bad as Naga Sea Witch. But as of right now, it's like a tier two deck, but it's still, you need to start, like, you need to start considering deck building around beating this deck now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, you showed me that combo and I'm just like, this seems broken.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Wild is, though. Wild is all broken deck. You have broken decks, fair decks, and aggro decks. So it's like a rotation. Aggro decks typically beat the broken decks. Fair decks beat the aggro decks. And then, like, unfair decks beat the fair decks.
But the other nice thing about Wild, though, is you don't queue up against people that are playing the broken deck every time because people are playing all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff. It's very varied. Sometimes you'll run into the same person two or three times in a row. But, I mean, you just got to manage your queuing. But, I mean, there's some other good Wild decks. I actually took something that Ray had mentioned earlier, you know, Mana Cyclone being fairly consistent in Standard, right? Well, you can use it with the quest in Wild, and it's absolutely insane. Like, the package for Mana Cyclone makes this probably the best way to make OTK mage decks. So, like, the whole package of Mana Cyclone and then the Elemental Invocation, you're also able to use whatever the 4-mana discount, anything that's generated in your hand, the Arcanine, is it? I don't want to say it's the Anomaly card. It's like, blue. I see it in my head. I don't know what it is. But it discounts all your cards that are generated by two. Wait,
is it? I know what you're talking about, too. Maybe that's the Anomaly and something else is. Oh, man. That's the card that... Oh, I think that was the Leyline.
Yeah, Leyline Manipulator, that's it.
Yeah, I don't think that was the Arcane. Okay, yeah. Leyline Manipulator. I thought that was originally not rotating. Because I was that got me really excited for that deck. But yeah, you guys
are wild. So, the whole package, I'm not sure if this is just straight up better, if you're comparing, like, to Exodia Mage with Thorisin. But, like, the version running Archmage, Antonitis, and the Sorcerer's Apprentices is very good. You typically complete your quest through all this stuff because you have the... The Ray of Frost is actually really good in that deck. I was very surprised by that, and Magic Trick. But, like, you're able to get your quest done turn 6, turn 7, maybe turn 8. But, like, a lot of the times you were going when you're playing a quest deck and your issue was you weren't able to complete it enough on time. Now your issue is cycling through the deck quick enough. So you're playing, like, Research Projects and Cold Light Oracles, and it's really good. But the whole thing is that the package, you can run any OTK with it. So there are a couple that are circling around right now where you cut the Sorcerer's Apprentices and the Antonitis, and you play two target dummies and Mimiron's Head, and now you're running the Voltron OTK. There was one running Giants where you just run, like, Molten and the Arcane Giants, and you just get two turns and whack them in the face for a bunch. And there was also the Vargoth Mill package, and this one was insane. I faced this on ladder and I lost to this. It was absolutely absurd. So what happens is you play Vargoth and then you go and you play the extra turn. So you get two extra turns. Then you Molten Reflection the Vargoth. So you have, like, six Vargoths because they're copying each other. And then you go in and you play a Violet Illusionist and Research Project. You draw 16 cards and your opponent dies to fatigue.
Wow.
It's one of the dumbest things I've seen, but it's actually consistent. And this version of the deck is probably, like, tier 3, tier 4, but, like, it's so broken. It's crazy.
Yeah, that... you guys got a lot going on there. I heard kind of an opposite opinion from some people from Wild. I heard that because of things like HS Replay, like, people were not... like pros, but a lot of the people who are, like, just playing Wild in a general sense are just playing, like, the like only two decks, like the top two HS replay decks kind of
thing. Yeah, that's definitely a thing. But I mean, when you get to once you get past Legend, like everyone, no one really plays the meta decks until you're like top like 200 Legend or so. So it's fairly diverse. But when you're in that rank five to rank one, people are tryharding. But like I'm just going over all the things that I experimented with over the past week, and then like other people were playing as well that were fairly noteworthy.
Yeah, it was just like I guess they were just complaining about like lack of innovation. But then yeah, like once you get into Legend, you have all the people that are like wild people that are just trying out their cool,
yeah,
crazy, wild ideas.
And it seems like a lot of this stuff is just throwing stuff on the wall and seeing what sticks. So I don't think the meta is nowhere near refined enough to say here are the meta decks at this point. I think that a lot of this has just got to what's good, what's possible. Because there are a lot of extra possibilities that were created, like the new Mechathune list. The old Mechathune list, you needed to use Emperor Thorasin to discount your Bloodbloom and your Mechathune. But now, because of what's the thing that shuffles your hand into your deck in Warlock?
Plot twist.
So now with Plot Twist, you can play Dollmaster Dorian and then Plot Twist. And then you have Bloodbloom Cataclysm. Once you've gotten through your whole deck and you have no cards left, you play Dollmaster Dorian, Plot Twist. All the cards go in your deck. All your minions come out, so a Mechathune shows up on board. Then you Bloodbloom, Cataclysm, and you win the game. So, like, that is incredibly consistent. It's more consistent than the old Mechathune lists, hands down. So that one was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then Geppetto has just gone into every single OTK deck at this point, or any combo deck before. But it's really pushed up Shudderwalk. That was one thing that I didn't expect. Just because of the tools that Shudderwalk's got with the scheme and like the new heal cards and stuff like that, we've seen a bit more Shudderwalk than we've seen in the past. It's probably going to be a meta deck at some point. There have been some Reno variants that I was testing out, but I think the standard version is probably the best one.
It's really ironic because I thought Geppetto would make a huge splash in standard, and it did absolutely nothing, at least so far. I think we're in a similar position where the metagame isn't actually developed, or it's not as developed as people had presumed before, which maybe I was part of the problem with that thinking, where I was just like, all right, this is ridiculous, like Warrior's too good, like the open cups are taking forever. But I still think that that point is valid. Like, I don't think it's okay for open cups to take 16-17 hours. I think that's still ridiculous and shouldn't be a thing, and like they need to address that. But I don't necessarily think Warrior is going to remain as dominant once people start to innovate more, as they see like the pro players actually release their lists. Like, everybody's been keeping everything under wraps for Worlds, and people who are helping people test for Worlds, so it's been very limited. And none of the top players have been playing Hearthstone. Like, nobody's been playing in the open cups because they're all invited to Vegas. It was like the amount of people that got pre-invited to Vegas was crazy. It was like 80 people or something. Like, they just got into the Grandmaster's Discord and they got invited to Vegas for free. So
wow.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fine now because they announced like Grandmasters and stuff like that, but to me it's like crazy. Like, that's why Hot Meowth hasn't played in any opens, because he's already invited. Cydonia, like, all those people got invited, like auto invited to, and they were like backups, I guess, even though I don't know why they would have like
80 of them.
There was like 40 something NA people, which is kind of like also really awkward, because they're just like, all right, am I going to get picked for Grandmasters? Like, nobody knows who's getting picked. Although on some level you do. On some level, like, you know, you're not getting picked over like X, Y, or Z. But there's some people who are like on the verge of getting picked. Like, you don't know if you're going to make the cut or not. And you're just in this group with everyone, and it's just like super stressful.
Yeah.
But they all get invited to Vegas. That's why you don't see anybody playing ladder or playing in these open cups, because they just have no reason to play Hearthstone. Like, they just like, they're already invited. Like, the format is probably going to be different after Worlds, not like set wise, but the metagame's going to evolve. So it's like, why bother playing now when you can just wait until everybody else does the work for you? Unless you're a streamer or something, that's different. But most of those people aren't streamers, so they're just not playing Hearthstone. So we're just seeing less innovation, but we'll start to see it more now as they start to play again.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on what you guys are playing, or I think we've kind of talked that through.
I mean, the only thing I wanted to say is that the cornerstone of Wild still exists. So you still have Kingsbane, Odd Pally, and Big Priest. Big Priest getting Katrina over B-planed over Rag, and Vargoth actually fits that list. But yeah, those are still the cornerstone, still the tier one decks. So a lot of the stuff that I've been talking about is the race for tier two, because those decks are just powerful. So I'm going to mirror what Ray had said. So these are the strongest decks, but you're looking for the decks that can take them on and then beat all the other decks. Mm-hmm. Because those, if you really need to climb, like, those are the decks you're playing. If you're going for rank one legend, you're playing Kingsbane, Odd Pally, Big Priest.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So moving on, I had an idea, and this is going to go either... it's going to be hilarious or it's going to go very, very poorly. Based on my track record, this is going to go very, very poorly.
We're deep enough in the show that anyone who's listening will be here for the good content.
We'll be here for the good content.
They're in for the long haul.
If you've made it this far on the podcast, you're going to appreciate this section.
You're right. Already committed. You can't unlisten. You can't right. stop listening. Can't like you're already listening. Too deep. We got you.
Yeah.
We got you, listeners.
So in this segment, this is what I call dating advice from Ray.
Uh-huh.
And I have some people that wrote in and are needing some dating advice. And so they're going to ask Ray for that dating advice. And you're probably wondering, what the heck does this have to do with Hearthstone? Well, you know, we're already talking about the Golden Burrito. We're already talking about, you know, maybe changing our audience up some, going a little more mainstream, right? No, this totally has to do with Hearthstone. You'll see why.
I mean, so, to preface this, I have no idea what is happening.
Yeah, Ray has no idea. Danny
I'm just
has
along for the ride.
Danny has no idea. Danny, you might even have some advice. You might even want to chip in on some of this.
Like, so, JR has, like, this is not scripted. JR hasn't told me anything except for that he's going to do something that is either going to fail miserably or be hilarious. That's all I know is that like, that's what he told me before the show. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to try something and it's going to be hilarious or fail miserably.
Yep. So let's
and
do
that,
it.
That is all I know about
it. Yeah, we didn't even test this before. So let's go. But we got to get in the mood first, so. All right. Gotta get in the mood. Gotta get in the mood.
I don't know if I could ever be in the mood with this music on. Like, I just think I would just start laughing. Like,
all right.
If that started playing, I just would lose it.
All right. Okay. I got the first email or letter or whatever you want to call it. This is from Jan. She goes by Jan. And she says, "Dear Ray, Khadgar and I used to get along, but I feel he was just using me as it seemed like he enjoyed Ragnaros' company more. But he would always bring me closer to him just to use me again for Ragnaros. Now this year, something has changed. He's taken an interest in himself, and I'm nowhere to be found. It's like he just looks in a mirror all day and doesn't go out with me anymore. What can I do?"
Can't beat a Fire Lord. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Khadgar is a beautiful man.
Yeah.
You really can't. You can't come close to it. You're done. Just give up. That's it.
Throw
in the towel. You're done.
You like the dating advice? Yeah. Good luck, sport. On to the next one.
you're done.
So yeah. Well, you...
All right, Ray's advice sucks. Danny, what about dating advice from Danny here?
Oh, God.
You got any?
I don't know. Sometimes the grass is actually greener on the other side.
See, Danny agrees with me. Jan, you probably don't even provide lifelink to Khadgar anymore. You're done. Like, you're past your prime. Your eggs are dry. It's all over. Pack it up. Bye bye. See you next expansion.
See you maybe
better luck next time.
Maybe she'll see more on, you know, if she goes investigates the wild side a little bit, right?
Sometimes you gotta show your wild side.
Yeah.
It's true.
Alright, there's the first letter. I've got two more. This one is from someone named Garrosh. I don't think I've ever heard this name before. And he says, dear Ray, I'm a very giving person, and I like to give out a lot of gifts. But lately, I'm finding that my dates aren't liking those gifts as much. I'm also getting complaints that I'm hanging around at certain events a little too long. I feel like I'm just getting a bad rep for no reason, and I'm being unfairly judged because I like to hang out with people like Elsiana, or whatever her name is, and I'm being told she's a bad influence on me. I don't want to give up my friends. I don't want to stop giving gifts to my dates. What should I do?
Well, you see, Garrosh, Elysiana, she's a bad influence. She's ruining your life. You need to cut out the toxic people in your life. That's what you got to do. That's what I hear.
I think that you just need a change of your crew. You're playing a lot of the long game, but sometimes you just got to go face. Got to hang out with some scallywags, some pirates. Start going face. I think that's the way to do it. Just change up your atmosphere.
Maybe go a little faster. Maybe speed things up a bit. Is that what you guys are saying?
I think so. And if you're getting
the saying that nice guys finish last is not true. You got to be first.
Wait.
What?
He could still be nice. That doesn't make any sense. You also gotta be mindful of your gifts. If they're bombs, people don't appreciate getting a bomb. Deals too many damages to their face.
Yeah.
Hurts them. It explodes. Like, just because you enjoy bombs doesn't mean everybody else will enjoy bombs. You gotta give them something they want. Like 6 armor and a weapon.
Yeah.
You really gotta be considerate, you know?
Yeah.
But definitely cut out the toxic people. Ditch that Elysiana.
Yeah.
She's just a thought.
Okay, I love that answer. That was a good one. All right, the final one. This one's actually really short. This says, dear Ray, I have no time for games. Love, Sylvanas.
Oh, all right, well... I don't know what to tell you. We're done here.
We should have named this section JR's Erotic Fanfic.
Get right to it.
Oh, man.
Sylvanas, the real thought. Elysiana's trying to play the long game. She's trying to get into a relationship. She's trying to get married and have kids. She's trying to wait more than 2 weeks. Sylvanas is getting right to it. I have no time
for games. Just no time for games. So, all right. If you guys like that, let me know. If you don't, let me know. Just let me know one way or the other. I'll come up with some more if people like it. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
It's pretty funny.
Seems good as a one-off.
It's probably just a one-off, yeah. It probably is.
Until we bring it back again, like Young Ray, just out of the blue.
Yeah, Young Ray. The next one's Young Ray gives romantic advice.
Please, no. I didn't even know that was coming up. But that was actually really good. That was not nearly as cringy. It was probably equally as cringy, but you know what? Never mind. We'll just see what people think about it.
We're taking it in a good direction. I like it.
Everything I do is cringy, guys. Come on.
I don't think so. I think it's a healthy mix.
Definitely pointed you in the right direction.
All right.
Yeah, I think we've definitely been bad influences on you, just like Elysiana was on Garrosh.
That's true.
Oh, man. Don't cut us out of your lives, JR. My advice is always bad.
They're like George Costanza, just do the opposite.
Exactly.
I'm surprised Ray knows who George Costanza is.
I don't, I'm just agreeing.
Okay.
Who is that?
Yeah, a guy on Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Ray's never watched it.
I know what that is.
Ray knows of Seinfeld.
I've watched a little bit of it, but I've watched like almost all of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, Curb is great.
Ah, gotcha. All right. It is time to get out of here. We have gone on way too long. So, emails. We didn't have any emails this week, but if you'd like to email us, you can email us over at wellmet@blizzpro.com. Next week would, this next week could be a great time for emails, guys, because we'll probably just be talking about worlds, maybe a couple other things. But next week is our final week before we have these guests coming in for several episodes after that. So if you want to email us and have us answer an email, this is the week to do so. So wellmet@blizzpro.com. If you want to be a Patreon, just head over to our Patreon over patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And $2 gets you early access to the show, gets you the pre-show, gets you the post-show. $25, I think, gets you coaching with Ray. There's a handful of other rewards within that range. I'm hoping that by May 1st, or, you know, the first week of May, I have some plans I'm working on to incentivize people to get in the Patreon. And we talked about the Golden Burrito earlier. We want to have a Well-Met tournament for patrons. So this is a thing that will happen. And so I'm hoping to kick that off here in May. So definitely be on the lookout for that. What else is there? iTunes reviews. We didn't have any new reviews this week. But if you head over to iTunes, do a search for Well-Met Podcast. Or just Hearthstone. You'll find Well-Met Podcast there. Give us a 5-star review and we'll read it on next week's show. Last week we had an epic one. And I loved reading that one. That one was so awesome.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Ray just at a grocery store, filling his pockets with, what was it, Snicker bars or Mars bars or something like that.
Well, who has Mars bars? What even is that?
Yeah, what century are we in?
It was Milky Ways.
It was Milky Ways, yeah.
Is that even a thing?
Mars? Yeah, Mars is a candy bar.
That was like in the 90s.
Does that not exist anymore?
I mean, it's not as popular anymore.
I don't know.
Mars is the Mars makes like some of the, isn't that like Hershey's?
Dude, I don't know, but
Mars
I'm
had like the
Mars bar is, so.
Mars has like the caramel inside of it, right? Mars bar. Now I gotta look it up.
Haven't had one since I was 6 years old.
Oh man, I thought those would be around. I haven't had one in forever, so. I just realized that. Yeah, it had like the nougat and the, like caramel as well. Those are really good. They were a lot like Milky Ways, but I think they're better than Milky Ways. Anyway, I got off track there. So, closing. Shout outs and how can people get in touch with you, Ray?
Shout outs to Zarios for having that awesome Dragon Warrior list that inspired me to keep pushing, play that other Open Cup, because I just really wanted to try it. And you can find me on Twitter, PG_Racy, on Twitch, twitch.tv/Racy591. Hopefully I'll be streaming a bit more. If you have Amazon Prime, subscribe to me on Twitch. It's free. Be dope. Definitely trying to get some gambling money up so I can realize my true potential, you know? No, I'm not actually. I'm not gonna do that. That's a bad idea. That's just a... Nah. All right, Danny, your turn.
All right. So my shout out this week is gonna go to Saucy Mailman. I did a co-op with him earlier this week, and we played what we called the a Shutterwalk deck that we named Arena Draft, where we played the Alicia card, and every single time you played Shutterwalk, it drafted a new deck for you. So that was pretty fun. But yeah, if you want to find me online, you can find me on Twitch. You can find me on Twitch, but I don't stream often, so you can most likely find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
All right. As for me, I don't really have any Well, actually, I do have one shout out to Anya Uribe. I think I'm pronouncing her name right. So she was the artist that did the awesome artwork that I tweeted out yesterday. And I might tweet out again here pretty soon because it's cool. But it's the one that we were talking about earlier in the show where we're like the League of Explorers. That came out really cool. And we're going to do some more things like that with her. I'm going to commission a couple more things. And maybe that will play into the Patreon stuff that we talked about earlier as well. If you want to follow me, just head over to Twitter. At Eldorian is where you'll find me. So thanks for joining us for episode 194 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can tweet us at Well Met Podcast, or you can email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com, or you can like head over to our Discord at over like discord.gg/wellmetpodcast or discord.me. It's one or the other. And you know, tell me if these were awful segments or not, and we'll go from there. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.